Oh, snap.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Thanks for joining the Raw Dog Food Truth Podcast. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the top dog here at Raw Dog Food & Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble if we can help it. But then when we try to help it, sometimes they're not our friends anymore. So I don't know. I don't know what we do. And as always, the fabulous, wonderful Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K, is here today. And we are going to talk about, oh my gosh, such an exciting topic, blood panels. Because Dr. Jasek, here's the thing. You know, pet parents take their dogs in for maybe a spay or a neuter. They're going to do some blood work before that. And then the blood work is not perfect. And then I start getting phone calls. I'm sure you do too. Oh my gosh, my dog is near death. Now that's not very nice. I mean, I'm exaggerating. But sometimes the vets do scare my pet parents that way. Liver enzymes, they get elevated and pet parents don't know what that really means. So today, if we can, try to give our pet parents some ammunition, some information, some education about maybe what they want to ask their vet about or get more information about when they get back blood panels that maybe aren't perfect.
Yeah, well, I think we have to look at, well, first of all, any blood panel, no matter what you're checking, it's a snapshot. It is what is happening in that pet's body at that point in time, and these values fluctuate. So just because we have elevated liver enzymes one time doesn't mean the pet had liver disease or is in liver failure. Now, it doesn't mean that we ignore those values. But we need to look at, okay, what else might be going on? You know, you take a young dog in for a spay or neuter, and, you know, presuming they're a younger dog, they've probably had a lot of vaccines. If they're seeing a conventional vet, that can contribute. Heartworm medications, flea and tick medications. Have they been on antibiotics, or did they, you know, hurt themselves and were, you know, put on pain meds for a period of time? All of these things can influence these lab values. And it doesn't often get considered. And unfortunately, if the pet is eating raw, that's the first thing that gets incriminated. And in my experience, I have never seen a change to a raw diet spike liver enzymes. There's always more to the picture. And the same with kidney values. Now, with kidney values, we might see those go up just a little bit if they're eating raw, because we're shifting the metabolism. If you change a dog from kibble to raw, we're shifting the metabolism. And we will see the kidney values go up a little bit, maybe just a tiny bit out of the normal range, and then they should stabilize. So you might want to do some follow-up on that. But that is like a new normal. The normal values are averages based on the average dog population that is most likely eating a kibble diet. So that's where those normals come from. They're not normals based on pets eating a raw diet. So we, I think, need to look at this realistically. And I think the first thing I would encourage pet parents to do is look at your pet's history. When you get these lab values that, you know, that are a little elevated, look at your pet's history. When was it? Did it recently have a vaccine or some medication or something? You know, could it have gotten into something? You know, dogs pick up stuff outside all the time, and look at all these factors and then question, okay, could those be contributing factors? And then go back and recheck the blood work and see if it changes. See if those values come down. And I think it's also useful to ask your veterinarian if they're saying okay, raw food is causing this, ask them where they get that information from. Because I hear a lot of things like that that come out of the veterinary profession that don't have any basis. There's no, you know, no research behind it, really nothing behind it, except that feeding raw is a convenient scapegoat, is really what it comes down to.
You know, we had one of our pet parents had, what was the issue on the dog? Let's see. Can't remember now, but she'd been a raw feeder for a while, but she took her dog in, and of course they started the, you got to get your dog off raw and put him on Royal Canin. And she said, you know, let me just ask you, what is your issue with raw? And she asked this to her vet. And she said, you know, the vet just hem-hawed around. Finally, she said, you know, we're just worried about bacteria. And she said, for the pets or the people? And she said, for the people. And I said, so I don't know why they just don't say, you know, and the question was, well, why does that concern you? And evidently, there's this idea out there, and maybe you can shed some light on this, that the veterinarians feel that if they recommend a food and a pet parent gets sick, then they can be sued. Is that true?
I don't think that could possibly be true, because we're not treating people. And I think as long as we give people the right information about safe handling, you know, where people, you know, are educated about how to safely handle raw and use their common sense. I've never really thought about that, but I really don't see how the veterinarian could get sued. It could come back on the, you know, pet food manufacturer if they could actually prove negligence of some sort, which, you know, they really can't. But I really don't see how that can come back on the veterinarian. I think that's another one of those fear things that gets placed in the heads of veterinarians by the, you know, the people selling the Royal Canin in the Hills and these other diets as a reason to steer people, you know, away from raw. I mean, I don't understand this whole paranoia about handling raw meat. It's been done for how many thousands of years? You know, and as we've talked about, the raw dog food is safer than the stuff you're handling, you know, at the grocery store. You know, they allow more bacteria there, and you bring that into your home and handle it. So I just really think that it's, and I know that the sales pitch given to veterinarians in other areas is so fear-based. You know, like if you don't give this vaccine and your patients get, you know, get this disease, and you're going to be liable and you're going to get sued. The fear of litigation is propagated through the profession immensely. I mean, then that's a big thing for, you know, veterinarians are afraid. They don't want to lose their licenses. But come on, let's use our common sense here. And, you know, really, are you going to be sued because somebody gets sick because you recommended a food? I think, you know, I think it really comes down to education, and people need to know how to handle it properly. But I think if that communication is made to the client, I don't see how the veterinarian would be liable for that.
Yeah. It's just, it's very, very strange. I mean, if they were selling it, maybe that's one thing. I don't know. But I thought, I don't know why they don't just say, hey, you know, I've never seen anyone that's gotten sick from it as long as we've been doing this. It's not, I think one of the problems is that they look at raw feeding as a fad or as something that has just come on. Well, maybe it's new to them, but it's certainly not new to those of us who have been doing it 20, 30 years, right? So it's been there.
Right.
It's been out there. So yeah, it's very confusing to our pet parents. And even when I look at some of the different, you know, levels and tests, when you've got the ALT, the AST, the ALP, I mean the ALT, AST, ALP, and then you've got GGT. Have you ever done the GGT test, or do you use that when you're diagnosing cancer by any, because typically GGT and the blood panels helps confirm or rule out liver problems. You know, and when I...
Yeah, I mean...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, I mean, I do, you know, the basic blood panel checks all the basic liver parameters. So we look at them together. And if we have true liver disease, we're going to have, like, they're all going to be elevated. Like, if just the ALP is elevated, that's a bit more of a nonspecific value. And that can indicate inflammation in lots of different areas of the body and lots of different things going on. If you have all of your liver parameters, all of those enzymes elevated, then it's more indicative of liver disease. But all of that saying is that the liver is inflamed. Something has inflamed the liver. Those cells are inflamed. So, you know, again, what is that? Could be some external influence. I mean, I've seen just about any dog with vomiting and or diarrhea, which is very common, you know, because dogs tend to get into things. They're going to have elevated liver enzymes. I have seen liver enzymes sky high in dogs that have a, you know, severe, you know, digestive disturbance, vomiting, diarrhea. They got into something, you know, for a variety of reasons that would cause that. And you have sky high liver enzymes. But knowing that, I don't say, oh, this dog is in liver failure. I say, this dog has a digestive disturbance. Let's recheck those values in 3 weeks and see if they come down. If not, then we need to look more closely at the liver. The liver enzymes don't tell us, you know, what's going on with the liver. We need to, you know, investigate further. I usually, if we have persistently elevated liver enzymes, I like to do an ultrasound, because you're looking at the liver structurally, and they can look at the architecture of the liver. And a good radiologist, and so I always recommend, if you're going to get an ultrasound done, get it done by a board certified radiologist. It doesn't likely cost much more, if any more money. You want an expert reading those images, because they can give you so much information based on what those cells look like. You know, again, the architecture, are there any masses? Are the bile ducts clear? Is the vasculature clear? You know, is there a vascular shunt? I mean, there can be so many things contributing to why are these liver enzymes going up. And I think rather than doing a bunch more blood tests that don't give us the best, or they don't give us a definitive answer, I think an ultrasound can give us a lot more definitive information if it's done by somebody that really knows what they're doing. So ask if the imaging is being done by a radiologist, because ultrasounds are great. They're non-invasive. The worst thing that your pet has to go through is maybe having a little hair shaved. But you know, you can get a lot of really valuable information. If the liver values are persistently elevated, and you want to take that next step to look a little bit further.
So is GGT, the GGT test, something that you have to ask for, or is that standard with the blood panel when you go in and have that done?
Standard on the bigger panels. So like so that's something else that a valid discussion to have. So there's, like, if I send blood out to the lab, there's different chemistry panels. It starts usually with, like, they call it Chem 11, which checks basic parameters and probably checks the kidney values. I think just like two liver parameters. So you're just getting a baseline. It's real basic. And a lot of times that's what's done for pre-anesthetic, especially if it's done like in the clinic or in-house. And then, you know, you'll go up to like a Chem 25 or a Chem 27 and, you know, Chem 21. I mean, every panel adds on more and more things. So you get more more different, values, more parameters. So you're going to get more liver parameters, things that might give you a little bit more information about how serious it is. Because again, if everything's related to the liver is elevated, then that's a better indication. So it's not like you specifically ask for it, but you look at the panel that you're running and see, you know, which values are included. And then another test that a lot of times done as a follow-up is bile acids, where you do a baseline bile acids and then you feed the pet a high fat treat or something. You want to encourage this bile production. And then you look at the level of the bile acids. And if the liver is inflamed, usually those levels will be real high, which just, you know, further indicates that, yeah, we've got something going on with the liver.
Gotcha. So basically every panel that you go up, let's say the more extensive the blood work, the more expensive it is, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't usually go up by a whole lot. I mean, I find that, I mean, you could go up from like a chem 11 to a chem 21, you know, for another $30 or something, you know. But I usually run the bigger panels because, like, it's not really that much more. It's almost like there's a base price to run blood work. And if you do the labs, like their panels that they put together, it's really cost effective, as opposed to, you don't want to be doing a bunch of, you know, singular tests. So you can get more information a lot of times for another, you know, $20 or $30. So I usually just run the bigger panels, because why not get the information for, you know, a relatively small percentage increase in the cost.
Right. So the name of the panel that the pet parent would want to run to get a better view is what? Which panel is that?
Well, it would depend on the lab that the veterinarian uses. Like I use IDEX. So I usually do, they've got a standard, it's called Health Check, like a Chem 21 and CBC. So you're getting your red and white blood cell counts and all that. And that's a very comprehensive panel. You know, you could add on, then they do a panel where you add on a total T4, you know, to check the thyroid. You're a relatively young animal, may not need to do that. You can add on your pancreatic enzymes, your amylase and lipase. But like that, you know, basic health check is usually what I run. Now, the other common lab is Antech. Those are the two main labs, and I haven't used them in quite a while, so I don't really remember the exact names of their panels. But I think the pertinent question would be, what exactly are you checking for? And ask, you know, how many liver parameters are you checking for? What is this panel going to tell us? Because most of the time the conversation is, we're going to do blood work. Okay, blood work looks fine. Or we're going to do blood work, you know, oh, your pet has signs of liver disease. But, you know, what exactly does that mean? What parameters were run? What are the, you know, variables that could have contributed to that? I think a lot of times in those discussions just don't even happen.
Yeah, it's funny because I was looking at one of my pet parents' reports on her Frenchie, which the Frenchies seem to be the ones that I get the most calls about with these elevated liver enzymes. But as I'm looking at this report, it's hard for me to see. There's no real markers on here. There are just information that says, you know, non-specific change, which may indicate an infectious, inflammatory, or toxic neoplasia is considered unlikely. So I'm not sure. This is very weird. I'm very weird. I mean, I get it that the pet parent, somebody has said, hey, these liver enzymes have, I was trying to find out where, she was saying how high the liver enzymes were. There's something floating around out there that when you have high liver enzymes, that if you add a fish oil, that will help. I have not heard that. Not sure where that's coming from. Can you shed any light on that?
No, I mean, I think as far as, again, it would go back to what's causing the increase in the elevated liver enzymes. So I'm thinking from an anti-inflammatory perspective, that, you know, might be where that's coming from. I don't typically recommend fish oils because they're unstable and can become rancid very quickly. So to me, that would be counterproductive if you have an inflammatory, you know, condition. I like to go more with the whole food feeding, and not the oils, but I'm guessing that it's coming from, you know, providing more omega-3s, which are anti-inflammatories, you know, which are going to help. The other thing, too, is that, you know, you have to think about, okay, so you start, the pet has elevated liver enzymes, start them on fish oil, the liver enzymes come down. They might have come down anyway, you know, if the pet was exposed to something. Say it was exposed to a pesticide outside. You know, people are spraying stuff all the time. It's almost unavoidable anymore. And say the pet was exposed to something, liver enzymes popped up because the body's dealing with it, they come back down. Well, you happen to start the pet on fish oil or whatever other supplement or change the diet or do something, but maybe the liver enzymes would have come down anyway. So I think you have to look at, are you really demonstrating cause and effect, or are, there's a big difference between true cause and effect and just two things going on at the same time. Is one really affecting the other, or are they just happening at the same point in time? Because I see this happen a lot. Two things going on at the same time, so one's causing another. But that's not, there's a whole lot more to the story. You know, you're not necessarily proving cause and effect. Same with the raw diet, you know. Dogs eating raw, liver enzymes are up. So that proves that the raw diet is causing that? Like, you know, I don't think so, because there's 100 other things that could be causing the liver enzymes to go up.
Right. And so that's something that I think that pet parents want to remember. When they get this type of advice, they don't know the questions to ask their vet to push back. They just go, oh my gosh. So then they call me. And I'm like, well, you know, you've got to ask your vet some questions. Why do they say that? What's their evidence? What's linking them to believe that, other than they're just eating, you know, the raw diet, all these things that you just talked about. And then does one elevated enzyme really say that your dog has some sort of, you know, liver disease going on? Because in this particular dog, the ALT was normal, but then they, and she didn't specify which one, she said one of her other enzymes was at a 740. But this was the first test, you know, have you gone back in 3 weeks? You know, that's probably the thing that I would say is, all right, which one is it? Are they all elevated? Because you just said, look, if they're all elevated, that's an issue, right? Mm-hmm. If we just have one elevated, well, let's wait before we get worried and go back and retest in 3 weeks. Do you think that's a good plan of action?
Yeah, or even ask the lab to rerun it. Because if you had one liver enzyme that's significantly elevated, I mean, you know, if I see liver enzymes are just a tiny bit out of the normal range, I don't really get too concerned about that. I might say, let's recheck those again in a couple months, make sure they're not continuing to go up. If they're just a tiny bit elevated, I don't get too concerned because there's a wide range. If there was one that was significantly elevated, like you said, like 700 or something, I mean, sometimes there's lab errors. I mean, just, you know, these values are all run on machines. So there's always the potential for, oh, something didn't run quite right. And a lot of times the labs will, if something just seems a little bit out of whack, they'll rerun a value. They'll recheck it. So I might ask the lab, hey, could you just verify that one value? And then, yeah, I would definitely recheck that, because to have one liver enzyme significantly elevated and everything else fine, that's really in more of an anomaly, in my opinion. I would definitely be rechecking that before getting too worried about serious liver disease.
I remember about 5 years ago, again, it was a Frenchie, a new raw feeder, and they went in and exact same scenario, going in to get this little male Frenchie snipped, ran a blood panel. I could probably find the emails where, oh my gosh, she wanted me to contact, this is seriously what she said, she wanted me to contact every one of my customers and warn them about the raw diet because I'm killing her dog. And I said, what is going on? And her vet had convinced her that it was all the raw diet. And it was, I probably could have handled it a little bit better, but I was so taken aback. And I said, she started going through this whole thing that the standard vet response. And I said, that is laughable. And she took that as I'm laughing at her. And she said, my dog is in serious, it's about, you know, and the dog was acting fine. Here was the problem. And she said, I can't believe that you're laughing at me when my dog is so seriously ill. I said, I am not laughing at you. I'm telling you that what these vets are saying is laughable. That is incorrect. But she no longer was a customer because of that. And I don't know what she's feeding her dog today, but that is exactly what happened. And so that is the issue that we have, is that when they go in and they get this diagnosis or they get this result and their vet said, this is coming from the raw, I'm not sure why they call me and tell me that. I said, listen, I feed my dog this food. I'm not in the business to hurt your dog. You know, this is, I'm not trying to pass off something through the food that is going to be hurtful to your dog. So I don't know. I always, so this is very helpful to say, okay, one liver enzyme that is elevated, and I assume that it's the ALP, that tends to be the one that gets elevated. So I don't know why that is, but again, I've got to give my pet parents something, and which the ALP, you guys, is the alkaline phosphate, or is it called
alkaline phosphatase, and that is the least specific liver enzymes. It does exist in the liver, but when it is the only one that's elevated, it can come from lots of other tissues in the body. So say your pet was injured, had a muscle injury, you might see an increase in the ALP. There's a lot of other things that will make that go up. It's actually quite nonspecific. So there is no way you can accurately say that a pet has liver disease if that's the only one that is elevated.
Well, they also say that this phosphatase is high in young and fast-growing animals because it's found in the bone. And this is I think this is one of her young ones, but I'll have to ask her again. So, all right. So just so I can get this clear for myself and for my pet parents, you go in, you get a blood panel. One of your enzymes is elevated. ALP. Typically, that's what we see. You want them to go back and retest in about 3 weeks, right? And if we still have the ALP, let's say, elevated, what do we need to do at that point?
Well, when just that one enzyme is elevated and the whole rest of the blood panel is normal, it just doesn't point to any specific organ disease. You got to be looking at, again, what else is going on. And I would say, you know, 99% of the time, you're going to be able to identify something. So rapid growth, that's absolutely true. That can cause that to go up. in very young animals? Are they, you know, are they teething? Is there something, you know, like that going on that can contribute to inflammation? Then with the vaccines and the heartworm and the flea and tick and all of those other things, it's so nonspecific that I think I'd be really digging into the history, first of all, and seeing is there anything else going on that is causing, you know, inflammation somewhere in the body? Because you just cannot say that you have liver compromise or liver disease if you don't have if the other parameters are not elevated.
Now, the other thing that can be affecting that, and we want to get a GGT. So we want to see if in the blood panel that you've got the GGT levels, because it can help exclude diseases, okay? So they say dogs with healthy liver enzymes will show GGT in the normal ranges, and that can, you know, basically rule out anything else. But get that GGT number as well. But the other thing that affects the liver, you guys, seizure medications, heartworm medication, if your dog is on pain medications, any of those can affect your dog's normal liver enzymes. Vaccines, viral infections can affect liver enzymes. So we want to take a look at any of those. I wonder how long a vaccine, let's say that you've vaccinated a year prior to getting this test. But I think, you know, think about this. If you're going in to get a dog neutered or spayed, what is the typical age that pet parents take those pets in? Is it about a year and a half to 2 years old?
Oh, well, that's what I recommend. I mean, a lot of them are spayed younger. You know, I definitely recommend waiting until they're a year or so, but I don't know that that's, you know, that's typical. I think a lot of pets are still spayed and neutered much younger, like five, 6 months, more down around that age. I definitely recommend that, you know, waiting until they're finished growing, and like females have gone through a heat cycle and so they're more mature before they're spayed and neutered. But I don't think that's necessarily the norm.
Okay, so if we know that typically they're coming in before a year old, right? We know that they've had their puppy shots and their vaccines. So what I'm looking at is saying, could those puppy shots, those vaccines, those things that they've had 6 months prior to going in to getting snipped, can those still cause a rise in liver numbers?
Oh, I think so. It depends a lot on the individual, though. I mean, you know, some animals you're not going to see any change, but especially say you have, you know, the dogs are given a vaccine that has mercury in it, thimerosal, which is used as a preservative in vaccines. And there, for whatever reason, their body isn't able to clear that. So you have a, you know, heavy metal toxicity, which can affect lots of different organs in the body. And because the liver may be trying to eliminate that, you could absolutely see inflammation. I mean, I think we see vaccine-related disease months afterwards. I mean, I know that's the case just because of the timing, because I ask people, you know, when diseases, you know, come up, when was the pet last vaccinated? And we commonly see it, you know, show up within, I mean, you'll see it. It's not always an immediate reaction. So you might see it show up 2 or 3 months later. And that's on the outside. So yeah, on the inside, could the liver still be inflamed? Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility, especially in a young animal that some of the vaccine protocols I see are just ridiculous. They're hammered with so many vaccines that actually the whole immune system and detoxification mechanisms in the body get messed up. And I think they could stay messed up for for quite some time. That's why we see chronic disease after vaccines. Usually it's manifesting as skin disease or diarrhea or other external symptoms. But yeah, if that vaccine is causing chronic itchy skin, we have an inflamed body. Could that be, you know, affecting the liver? Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And remember, our water supply has hormones, pesticides, and herbicides. So those are some things that can also affect the liver. So I think with this podcast, we just wanted to give you some information about liver enzymes and to help you not worry so much, to get more information and to go back and get retested and to take a look at these different things that we talked about today. Vaccines, is your puppy growing, teething? You know, that's one of the things I hadn't really thought about, the teething. That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. And if you just have one elevated liver enzyme, maybe this is not something we need to worry about right off the bat. We'll take, you know, keep a watch on it. But remember, you can always call for a phone consultation with Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K, at Dr. Judy, holisticvet.com. You can just sign up for a phone consultation anywhere you are in the United States. You can send her your dog's records, and she can help you navigate this world of veterinary medicine.
We could do a relatively quick, phone consult and just reviewing lab results. You know, people are interested, like they're told one thing and they're like, okay, well, I want to get a second opinion, just on the lab work. And you can send that stuff digitally so easily now. And we could do, depending on the circumstances, I could do a relatively brief, just second opinion on the lab work. Just let you know what I think, and then the pet parent can take it from there.
Right. That's what you guys need. You need a coach. You need somebody to help you. You need a liaison between traditional and holistic medicine. And there is a vast difference, you guys, a vast difference between what's going on in traditional medicine versus what Dr. Judy Jasek does. And trust me, she's already been there. You've already walked that line. You've already seen those results. She knows what they are talking about. But the great thing is being able to look outside of the box and saying, wait a second, maybe we don't need to get so worked up about this particular blood panel because it's not really anything, or there are other things that are causing it. And what I love is that you don't make pet parents feel stupid for feeding a raw diet or feel like they're poisoning their dog. I get a lot of calls that say, well, these are kibble feeders, right? Mostly. And they call and they say, I don't want to do anything that's going to harm my dog. And I feel like that dog whose head, tilts to the side. What? What? I want to say unless you're feeding a raw diet that you're putting together yourself and you're not putting organs and you don't have bones, or you're doing straight liver or, something along that line, these blends that we put together for people, you're just not going to kill your dog. I don't know how you would do that.
It would be pretty bad for business. I mean, you say that, and I chuckle every time I hear you say that, because I'm like, okay, well, if you were killing off your customers, it'd be kind of bad for business.
Right.
You'd lose your customer base pretty fast if you were not diligent in making sure that this was a healthy diet. You want your customers to live long, healthy lives. I mean, that's what you want the pets doing, because that's the best for your business. So if you were in business that was killing pets, then what would be the point? It's kind of an absurd statement, that, you're doing this to people call you up, well, you're killing my pet, right? Really? What would be the point in that?
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business. Just snap.